See, Mary's, I doubt Mary Sue's gone.
Yeah.
So.
That's next week?
Yeah.
We ready? Good morning. This is a Ocala City Council workshop, and we're going to discuss the budget today. Present today are Councilman John Priester, Councilwoman myself, Councilwoman Susie Heimbachel, and Councilman Kent Gwim. Mrs. Rich and Mr. Owen are absent today, as is the mayor, Mr. Ewers. Matt, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about the general fund and the ancillary funds for the fiscal year 2012 budget. Before I turn the time over to Cindy Kelly, I want to take a couple minutes and compliment the City Council for their ongoing support in these budget deliberations. We welcome your comments. We welcome your questions through this process, of course. My thanks also to staff. They've had a yeoman's job in putting the budget together. As you recognize, the budget process began in March, and we've been working on this for some months now, and we're proud and ready to talk about the general fund this afternoon. I want to make sure that council members are aware that we hope to have a very robust conversation today about the general fund and the ancillary funds. That conversation will be led by Cindy Kelly, and in fact, if there's no questions, I'll turn the time over to her at this time.
Thank you. Cindy Kelly, Deputy Director of Budget and Finance, for the record. I apologize, I'm getting over a cold, so I'm a little nasally and froggy. As Matt indicated, we're going to talk about the general fund and the other funds. You guys were provided with a workbook on Friday with the inserts for your workbook for the general fund and the other funds. All of the funds are presently in balance, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through the PowerPoint, have a little bit of policy discussion, and then we'll get to the workbook where we will look at some of the actual numbers. As always, staff is present to answer any specific questions you have about any particular areas. Same staff still working on the budget process. We want to talk about the council work sessions. We've had some difficulty in scheduling the date of adoption of the tentative millage. If you recall, initially it was going to be on the July 19th council agenda. However, some members were going to be absent that day, so we tentatively set it for the July 26th workshop. However, we now realize that there will be a council member absent on that day as well. So we've looked at your calendars, and right now it looks like August 2nd, all of you will be present and accounted for. So we would like to do it at the August 2nd workshop, and on bended knee I say please no one go on vacation that day, because our drop deadline to get it done is August 4th. So we're really closing in on the gap there. So if there's no objections, we will, August 2nd is a regular council night workshop, and so we'll just have it on the agenda for that night.
Okay.
And the remainder of the workshops remain the same. Our next workshop in 2 weeks is for the enterprise funds. And then the last workshop will be August 9th, which will look at the budget in its entirety. And on the 2nd is when we will have what the dates will be for the public hearings. Once the school board and the county have set their tentative millage, then we'll know what our dates are. This is to give you some information on how we achieved a balanced budget. Again, the general fund is the main operating fund of the city. As such, it bears the majority of the costs for all of the city's core functions that are not related to an enterprise. We did balance the general fund using the revenue neutral option, commonly referred to as the rollback rate. The rollback rate for FY12 will be 5.9332. This allows the city to collect the same tax revenues in the ensuing fiscal year as we did in the current fiscal year. All cash balances available to the city, including the 20% reserve, have been incorporated into the budget. We talked about this during the year, that we would, in essence, have the entire checkbook be in the budget. So there would cease to be the need for these working capital amendments to constantly bring dollars into the budget. The 20% reserve is a policy discussion we'll have a little bit later on. Our current key management practices call for a 25% reserve. We have surveyed entities in Florida and come to the realization that the 20% would be a better number to keep. And we'll get into that discussion as we go forward. Salaries have been kept at current levels. We don't have any raises programmed in the budget. We did talk about the potential to give up to a 1.5% raise. However, after looking at revenues and expenditures, we've decided to keep salaries flat. The city was able to absorb the 3.7% increase in health insurance costs. This is in large part due to council's decision to move to the self-insured program. We have recognized some significant savings. So in order to afford the employees a reprieve, we are able to absorb that cost and not pass it on.
Mr. Quinn.
When did we go to the self-insured plan? Was it last year?
We adopted it for this current fiscal year.
Okay, so we're in it right now. Yes.
Correct.
Okay, and you say it's working good?
Yes, it's working very well.
Good.
And the budget has been balanced, keeping current service levels in place. We have not programmed in any cuts in service for the residents. The millage rate, I'm just going to kind of go through for council what it takes to adopt the millage rate. This is a statutory process. Again, the property appraiser certified the roll to us on July 1st. That kicks off for us the 35-day timeline in which we have to adopt a tentative millage, hence our August 4th deadline. There are different rules associated with the adoption of our millage. When council adopts a tentative millage, it's important to recognize that that becomes your ceiling. You cannot raise the millage once you adopt a tentative rate. You can lower it as much as you like. However, you do not have the ability to raise once you've adopted a tentative millage, because that becomes the then advertised rate that goes out on the trim notice that you get at home, you know, during the month of August. There are different vote requirements depending upon what rate you levy. The maximum millage rate that can be levied by a majority vote of the city council is the rollback rate. A millage rate of not more than 110% of the rollback rate, adjusted for growth, may be adopted with a two-thirds vote of the council. And a rate in excess of the 110% of the rollback rate may be adopted by a unanimous vote or by a referendum of the citizens. And those were some of the new things that came on with that 2008 legislation that we went through, Amendment 1.
So just for clarification, so when we adopt a tentative millage, basically what we're adopting is the most that we can...
The most that you
can
levy.
The most that we can levy.
Correct.
But we can levy less than
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, okay. Yes. Just when you adopt your tentative millage, that is just a notice to the property appraiser that they can send out to the citizenry. On that notice will be the advertisement of the first public hearing. Your first public hearing is your tentative budget adoption.
So and when do we adopt the final millage?
The final is your second public hearing in September.
Okay.
So say on the second, for argument's sake, you adopted the rollback rate as your tentative millage. Notices would go out. The first meeting in September would be your tentative budget adoption. We would have that presentation, and council could adopt a different rate at that time. They could say, okay, well, we want it to be, you know, 5% lower, 2% lower, 0.5% lower, you know, whatever you chose to do. And we would have time between adoption of your tentative millage and bringing forward the budget. So at the tentative hearing is when you would say, officially, our rate's going to be X. And then at the final hearing, you can stay with that rate or go lower. Again, you cannot go higher. So you can move your rate up and down up to whatever you've adopted as a tentative millage rate up until the final hearing. The only caveat with public hearings is when you make a change in a public hearing, the budget has to be rebalanced on the spot. because you have to close that hearing with a balanced budget. So if you say, we're going to take the millage down, you know, half a mil, well, we would have to break out the calculator.
Right then.
Council would have to tell us exactly what's going to come out, and we would balance it then before we close the hearing. So there is not the option to bring you back options, things to look at. We have to actually balance right then, because you're actually adopting a tentative budget that day.
Which we've done before.
Okay.
Yes, it has been. I've been through it several times, so it's so at that, we come prepared with the tape. We're ready.
Okay, so you would be ready for
that? We are absolutely ready.
Okay.
That's not a problem, yes. Right. But just so council is aware that it is, you don't have the option to table that discussion.
Right.
You have to have that discussion, make those decisions, and rebalance the budget, you know, before the hearing is closed.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The next slide just gives you a highlight of what the millage looks like. We've listed the current rollback rate, the rollback rate, and the maximum millage rate so that council has an idea of what those rates look like. These are based on a 95% collection rate. We are unable to budget 100% of ad valorem. We budget at 95%. The current rate is the first line, which is the 5.6183. And that's just with a simple majority vote that that rate was levied. And it shows what the proposed revenue would be for FY12 at 95% and what the FY11 revenues were at 95%. So you can see keeping the rate constant would have $1 million decline in property taxes for the general funds. The next line is your majority vote maximum rate. This, again, was brought about by the legislation in 2008, where you have the growth factor that you put on top of your millage and you come up with a maximum millage levy. And that would be the 6.0264, and you would need a majority vote to levy that rate. That would be an increase to the millage, so that we would actually advertise a tax increase at that rate of 1.57%. The third line is your rollback rate, or your revenue neutral option, which is 5.9332. This requires, again, a simple majority vote, and this would bring in the equivalent revenue in FY12 as we did in FY11. And the last line is the maximum that you could levy, which would require the two-thirds vote, which would be the 6.6290, which is an 11.73% increase in the millage rate. And you can see the resulting revenue there. So are there questions related to the rollback rate? And again, it is technically a roll forward or a roll up, if you will. The calculation of a millage is basically an algebraic equation. The value goes down, the mill goes up to net the same revenue. We're still in that anomaly of declining property values. Some of the items that we will discuss today relate to the reserve policy adjustment, the use of fund balance in the balancing process, the proactive approach that staff has taken to curtail current year expenses and will continue to take to curtail future expenses, the continued culture and innovation enhancements, and school resource officers, because we do have an impact on our budget because of some of the constraints the school board is under in the coming year.
And I read an article, I think it was in this morning's paper, that they had or were looking at continuing to pay that bill.
One of the school board members is actually advancing her own budget to be talked about at a coming meeting.
Yeah. I don't know how that'll pan out, but you know, at least they're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yes, from our perspective, we presently receive about $250,000 a year from the school board to cover those costs, and so we are actively watching that discussion as well to see, you know, will they continue to be able to pay that, or, you know, what will happen with the program. With the relation to the reserve policy adjustment, as I indicated earlier, the current key management practices indicate a 25% reserve of the expenditures in the general fund. In doing our due diligence and looking at the expenditures and the available revenues, we conducted a poll of the municipalities and counties throughout the state to see what levels of reserve were being kept. On the average, you looked anywhere from probably 16 to 20%. You had a few municipalities that were greater than that and some that had as little as 3 or 4%. Most of that was due to the economic downturn and having to eat into the reserves. Council has been given us good leadership in the past in our ability to maintain our reserves. However, we want to be prudent. It's good to have a size, a fund balance in order to accomplish things, but it's not good to have too much as well. So we tried to strike that balance and felt that the 20% was a more appropriate reserve level to have in the general fund.
If I can embellish those comments, one of the reasons why we landed at the 25% that Rick advanced, I think two, maybe 3 years ago, was at that time our financial accounting was not in order. We didn't really know where we stood from one fiscal year to the next. An example of that is this past year when the audit was done, of course in September, which is at the end of the fiscal year. Well, that game has been changed because we're now able to close our books monthly, and so we know exactly where we stand. And so we believe that the 25% is probably a little bit too high, and a more reasonable number is probably 20%. And another reason for strongly considering the 20% is one of the reasons why the city is not in a crisis management, quite frankly, is because of the vision and the leadership of this council and having a rainy day fund set aside to help us through economic downturns, to help us through hurricanes and other things like that. And so staff would actually look at wanting to land that about 20%.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sandy, can we go back one slide? Before we go on, if I can invite Pete Tesh up. I know that the council members had asked if he would come forward at this meeting to talk about economic development. Pete, if I can put you on the spot before we continue down the agenda. I know you've got a lot on your agenda today, and so with no further ado, we'll have you come on up.
And Matt, while he's coming up, what was the dollar amount of that reserve that you're talking about?
At the 20% mark?
Yeah, what is that dollar amount, Cindy?
At the 20% level, that would be $13.6 million.
And I got on council in 99, it was $500,000.
Wow.
That's what we had.
I'm glad it's higher now.
Okay, we're ready for hurricanes.
Pete, thank you and welcome.
Good morning, sir, and members of City Council. Thank you for having me come up here. My name is Pete Tesh with the Ocala Marion County Economic Development Corporation, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Mr. Brower, I do have a written proposal that I'd like to distribute to you and the members of City Council, if that's okay. Some extra copies there. Members of City Council, Ms. Heimbacher, I've distributed a fiscal year 2011-2012 EDC budget request for the City of Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
We kindly ask you that you maintain your current investment in our organization at $145,000. I have several backup documents if you wish to see those. But today's request is to focus on specific items to market and promote the community and focus on several target industries along with the promotion of the Ocala International Airport, Ocala Business Park, as well as the Ocala Marion County Commerce Park, affectionately known as the Magna property. So that is our basic focus in terms of our marketing and prospect development items. In the letter, we've indicated those target industries and how we would go about working with the City of Ocala and Marion County with the promotion of those target industries as well as those specific business parks. On page 3 of the proposal, we've highlighted fiscal year 2010 and 2011 marketing and prospect activity that furthers our involvement with those target industries and how we're going about the job creation process. In the back is a preliminary marketing and prospect development proposal. We have made some rough estimates on what we believe will be necessary from our organization's perspective to further market research, prospect development, our property database management website and collateral materials, and then the actual execution of the target industry sectors, aviation, aerospace, the business processing operations, and then manufacturing and logistics. I would like to emphasize that we're in the process with our organization of going through the refinement of our budget. We meet with our executive committee tomorrow to present this information as well. So we're working side by side, if you will, with the city and the county and our budget process. So this is all work in progress. So Mrs. Heinbockel, Mr. Brower, any questions that you'd like me to answer, or if there's some specific things you'd like me to touch on, I would be happy to do so.
Sure. A couple years ago, I guess 2009, is when the city had an agreement with the EDC specifically for marketing the airport. And so what we had discussed in an earlier meeting is perhaps having a specific agreement year to year that would sort of mirror that same agreement. Is the EDC open to that type of agreement going forward?
Yes, ma'am. We got to meet with Mr. Brower as mm-hmm. well as Mark Mondell to talk about specific items in whether it be a contract or a memo of understanding or letter of agreement, and then focusing on specific items that we believe that the city would want to promote, whether it's on the target industry side, exclusively for the airport, or other issues that would parallel with the city's economic strategy.
Okay.
So we're happy
moving
to
forward
do that.
On that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's all I have. Do you, anyone else have any questions for?
No. Other than we, over the 12 years I've been on council, had these discussions, from time to time about EDC's performance, et cetera, what they do, what they don't do. And, some have justly or unjustly, brought this issue up. I think this yours is justly. I'm not going to say if we were unjustly in previous administrations. But anyway, the EDC is doing a great job. They have for obviously a long time. I mean, they are our point person for economic development. When companies come to town, he's who they contact. I think things flow smoothly when one organization, be it the EDC, is at the helm, and it works. I think we've developed a trust relationship with both Pete and his board over the years with the business leaders in this community to do what's best for the city and the county, and I've enjoyed their working relationship that I've had with them, and hope it continues.
Thank you. Do you have anything, Mr. Priester?
Geez, Pete, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Priester. If I can get copies of the minutes of this meeting, I'd love to chronicle that.
Well, and I'll add too, sometimes we agree to disagree, be it, Susie and I voted, against the tomato project, but, we're all still friends, and, we move forward and support whatever council, votes for in the majority, and stand ready to assist EDC and the other folks, in Project, is it Tulip? American Fresh Farms.
Yes, sir.
So, you know.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gwynn. Ms. Heimbachel, we just want to reemphasize the close working relationship that we have with Ocala City Council, with Mr. Brower and his staff. It's an absolute delight, both on a personal and professional basis, to work with city staff as well as city council. Our economy has been severely punished in the last few years, and we hope that in fiscal year 2011-2012 that we see some very strong job creation and business expansion in our community. And because of your commitment, your vision, and your ability to put resources where they're necessary, we join with you, the EDC, to help accomplish that mission in a vein of utmost transparency and accountability, and I really appreciate it.
And Pete, Mr. President, you're having the same conversation with the county, is that correct? As far as
yes,
the
sir.
Same number, as far as the budget, the 145?
That is correct.
Okay.
In the target industry sectors, aviation, aerospace, and the business processing operations, we do have agreements with the county to do some specific things in terms of marketing, advertising, and then the deployment of consultants. So obviously working with the county commission and the city council, we have a combined target strategy in that regard.
Okay.
So, yes.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete, appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
Just kind of echo what Pete said, you know, the city I think has done an outstanding job at sowing the seeds of economic development. And I personally believe that at some point we'll reap a harvest from that. And so I think this effort and this investment is very worthwhile. If I can, let's go ahead and move on and talk about the use of fund balance in the balancing process. And let me first give you some context to help set the stage for this discussion. And Kent, you're familiar with this, being on the council now for many years. You saw, being on the council, the economic run-up, the exuberant economy from about 2002
right.
to approximately December of 2007. Throughout the country, cities' budgets were escalating to meet the increasing demands with their soaring economies and soaring communities. Then, as you know, in December of 2007, we had initiated the Great Recession, which, of course, has seen a precipitous decline in economic activity and, of course, revenues. And again, you've seen throughout the nation that many cities have had to go into a crisis management as those revenues drop significantly, and they're no longer able to continue funding their expenditures at the established levels that came about during the economic robust upcline. Ocala has been spared a lot of that challenge, again, in part because of our fund balances, because of the rainy day funds that we've had, but also because we began 3 years ago, to lay the groundwork for some very strategic decisions to begin cost cutting, to begin right-sizing the ship. And although we utilized $4 million of that reserves in the current year's budget, we'll have to continue that for the foreseeable future. And we're going to talk about staff's and management's game plan to continue to get more strategic, to get more aggressive about applying technology, about applying outsourcing where necessary, and perhaps even some organizational changes to make sure that we can withstand this economic storm. And so with that context, what I'd like to do is talk about the fund balance this year, how we got the general fund to balance, and if I can impose upon city to help for that discussion, we'll begin there.
Just as a point of reference for council, the EDC is budgeted in the FY12 budget at the same level as the current year. So that budget is balanced with that in there. As Matt said, we have some unique challenges, and Ocala has been more fortunate over the economic downturn. In the current year, we did use $4 million approximately of fund balance to balance the budget. And in essence, what that means is our revenues were less than our ongoing expenditures. In the ensuing fiscal year for FY12, we have a similar issue once we began to balance the budget. So we employed some different strategies in order to bring the budget in balance. Of course, our first line of attack was to see where we could reduce expenditures. Was there anything in the budget that we could eliminate, reduce, without necessarily impacting the service level to our citizens? So that was the first thing that we did. After that, we still had a little bit of an upside down position. So then we looked to other avenues to gain revenue. So in essence, we had about $48.3 million worth of revenue and $67 million worth of expenditures. That is prior to the transfers from the enterprise funds and other places. So we looked to our transfers to see what we could do there. With some of the cost-cutting measures that were employed in the enterprise funds, there was the ability for us to increase some of those transfers in FY12 to help support the balancing of the general fund. So we did do that. We also added the addition of the telecommunications fund, bringing a transfer to the general fund. In the past, that enterprise fund had not supported the general fund, and they receive the same level of support from the general fund as do the other enterprises, so we instituted the same approach for the telecommunications fund to transfer to the general fund. So after that, we still were in a bit of a negative position. We then looked across at some of the other funds that are used to support general fund departments. And if you'll recall, in the past, council has funded a 3/4 mil, a 1/8 mil, those different types of funds. One of those funds is for police and fire operations. Presently, the only thing we have incorporated in that fund is the building of the new fire station. So that portion of the fund was accounted for. The fund balance in that fund was not accounted for anything on the police side of the house. So we met with police and we worked out transferring those dollars into the general fund to support the ongoing operations of the police department. That was a larger transfer, about $2.5 million. So once all of that was said and done, we still had a little bit of a hole. Then we looked at the reserve policy, as we discussed a while ago, and came to the conclusion that 20% was more appropriate. So that freed up some dollars to be able to use for the operations. And after all of that was done, we still had a deficit of almost $3.3 million. So then we used fund balance to cover that deficit. So year over year, the last 2 years, we've used about $7 million of the excess fund balance just to supply ongoing operations. So as Matt indicated, we are continuing in our approach to look at operations in the general fund. What are we doing? Where are we going? What are we providing to make sure, one, that they're in line with council's strategic plan? And if they're not, we need to start, you know, realigning and making sure that we're all headed in the right direction. So because of the better management of the past, we've had the fund balance and we've been able to make these cuts more strategically and not take that crisis management approach and go to the draconian style. We're going to lay off 50 people. We're going to, you know, close the parks. We haven't had to do that. So we acknowledge that we have to step up those efforts, because it's never prudent to pay for ongoing expenditures with your savings account. So we've been able to reduce the reliance on the savings account somewhat, or kind of keep it steady, if you will. But going forward, we are looking at different strategies to lessen our reliance and try to bring our expenditures in line with what our revenues are bringing in.
And that leads us to the items 3 and 4 on the screen that's in front of you. 3 is the proactive approach to the curtailment of current year expenses. 4 is the continued culture and innovation enhancements. With my management team, we're going to look at trying to slow expenses for the remainder of the fiscal year. We're now heading into Q4. And by doing that, we hope to have actual revenues exceed actual expenditures. And this way, we won't use the entire amount of the $4 million that was plugged into this current year's budget. And that excess will be able to go back into the reserves to help us in future fiscal years. But as important, of course, is to continue the advancement of strategic initiatives to bring in the line projected revenues with projected expenditures. And we intend to do that over the next fiscal year. So this time next year, hopefully we've gained more ground in that process. It's going to take time. But I believe with initiatives that we're going to put in place, we'll be able to make some headway over the next year and continually fight this battle as long as we have an economy, which of course is struggling and unable to get back on its feet.
And Madam President.
Yes.
And I think, you know, Matt, you're right on target, like as far as, you know, continued culture and innovation enhancement. I know we have some opportunities and, you know, solid waste that, you know, are going to be coming in front of us over the next, you know, couple of years. And I know that this afternoon, I think they're looking at curbside recycling, and there's just a lot of things that, you know, opportunities that we can really, you know, capitalize on as far as innovation enhancements to, like Cindy said, you know, provide the same level of service, but, you know, do it at a more efficient manner. So I applaud you for, you know, looking at these issues.
If there's no other questions, we'll go to the last item here, which is the school resource officers. And with that, I'm going to invite our police chief, Sam Williams, to come up and provide you some context about how that relationship is established with the school board and the changes that the school board have been overturning to the city and the game plan for addressing those.
Good afternoon, Council. Chief Williams of Gallup Police Department. several weeks ago, Superintendent Yancey sent a letter, then came to visit me and kind of outlined that in this year's budget, keep in mind this was in June before the state actually passed their budget, indicating how much money school systems throughout the state would get. At that time, it was in the discussion, he apprised me that they would be unable for the coming fiscal year to fund the school resource officer program. Of course, we immediately froze the positions that we had open at the time, and that was six positions. We have six school resource officers assigned to the schools here. So by freezing those positions, I did that in anticipation of the school system not being able to fund the positions. And since there were six of them and I had six vacant positions, it kind of balanced out. As time went on, I had another visit with Mr. Yancey. And he said, look, the budget doesn't look as bad as it was, and there may be some money, but we're not sure how much it's going to be because they're still trying to determine what their cost is going to be. And in that discussion, he said, well, let's cut out CTAE, and we'll only do the two high schools, then it's Vanguard and Westport, and none of the middle schools. And another meeting came about, well, what if we did something like do away with CTAE, keep the high schools and do somewhat of a rover with all the middle schools. So keep in mind, in all of these meetings, we then began to plan as how we would then provide school resource officer functions at a particular school. So we kept drafting different scenarios and how we would operate. And just recently, in the past week, Mr. Yancey and I met, and the discussion was, well, we think we have enough money to do the two high schools, and if you guys could kick in another $25,000, we would be able to work with the middle schools. So, and that's where we were with that. So one of the scenarios that we came up with was, well, let's completely do away with SROs as we now know them and make that a detail. So it would be like a special duty detail, much like we do anyway with Stephen Counts and the movie theater and everybody else. And that cost would be drastically reduced. The figure that we would normally be expected to get from the school system was $272,000. And by doing the special detail rate, we would reduce it to around $185,000. But all of these things are still up in the air. We still don't know where they are with finalizing their budget. So that's historically what we've been encountering this budget process in terms of dealing with the school resource officer program.
So refresh my memory on the high schools. Did the school board pay for all of that one?
Or yes, sir.
Was
that high schools were being paid at 100%.
100%. They pay, right?
Yes, sir.
And the middle schools were 50-50. Okay. And there were two high schools and the balance of four middle schools, right?
Plus CTAE.
Okay. All right. Adult education?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So what we're talking about doing is doing this all the same schools except for maybe the adult education, and that be special detail?
If we do the special detail scenario, they would put CTA back in.
Okay. All right. So how would that work? I mean, there's special details, so they just get...
They would essentially be contracted employees with the school board, as I understand it.
Yes. So they would hire them just like some
just
business
like
hires
them? Just like at the movie theater, just like at Stephen Council, the road projects and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So there wouldn't be benefits, et cetera,
correct.
Things like that. Correct.
Yes. Yeah, for the contracted position.
And what's the rate for the special detail now?
$35
an hour? And how much of that does the city get? An hour.
You know that now?
$5.
We get five, officer gets 30?
Yes, sir.
It's a pretty sweet deal. for them. Okay. All right. And you think this would work?
That's a solution.
That's a solution.
Not necessarily
I know it
the
like,
solution, but
it sounded like it was kind of a moving target as the discussions went along. Like I mentioned today, there was an article in the paper that, you know, they were just going to pay for all of it and keep it the same way it was.
Every discussion I've had with him, he apologizes. He just doesn't have an idea
sure.
of what the budget is going to turn out to be. And of course, when I read this morning's paper, I said, well, here we go again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you, Chief. Sure. That really concludes staff's formal comments. I'm going to turn time back over to council for their questions and inquiries.
Okay. Did you have anything further, Mr. Priester?
Not at this time.
No. Mr. Gwynn? Anything else?
That's
on
all.
I just want some clarification. Under the non-departmental tab in the book that we received.
Yes. And we're going to bring the workbook up on the screen so that
okay.
the public can see.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go through the workbook, at least the summary page or whatever you'd like to, you know, we can cover.
Would you all like to do that? I thought about doing that just tab by tab if there's any questions.
Sure.
Okay. Right. Let's do that. Just like okay. a real summary
right.
sort of review each department and then.
Yeah, we're going to start with the summary page, the general fund summary. Gives you the snapshot of what
can
the general fund
for a moment.
Like.
If the council would like, we also have the departmental representatives here available to speak to any items within those.
Okay, if there's any questions as they come up, just as we go through the departments, we can address questions.
Okay, the summary page is the first one.
What is the summary page titled?
That's the first page. It just says
general fund
at the top.
Okay,
okay,
great.
And it shows where revenues balance to expenditures.
Okay.
And at the top of the screen, at the top of the spreadsheet, you'll see the cash balance forward estimate of the 22.4. That's where we're expecting to have left over at the end of the 11 fiscal year to carry forward into the 12 fiscal year.
Okay.
And then you'll see the revenues across the top, which total 48.3. And just as a point of reference for council, so that you have an understanding of your revenues, all of the revenues in that section are fairly fixed, with the exception of ad valorem, based on council's final decision of what ad valorem rate that you levy.
Okay.
So the present ad valorem that you see there is based on the rollback rate. So should council go to any number other than the rollback rate, that is the number that would reduce. And we would have to find the requisite reduction in expenditures, you know, on the bottom half of the page.
That was about $1 million, right, Cindy?
Yes, that's correct.
And can I just, one quick question.
Sure.
Does staff have, if we went to the same millage rate as last year, does staff have notions as to where those changes might be made? Y'all are keeping that in the back of your mind about where those reductions can be taken?
Well, there are a few options.
Okay.
Your options are fairly limited
okay.
with respect to cutting a full $1 million from the budget. The first option would be to cut it from your reserves. Of course, as a prudent financial person,
right.
I would never recommend keeping ongoing operating at the same cost and just tapping the reserve, because that would
right.
be a short-term fix.
Right.
Our other option would be to cut personnel and operating expenses in some mix
right.
to
okay.
come up with those cuts.
Okay.
Additionally, the other option would be to utilize some form of personnel operating in conjunction with some reserve cut.
Kind of
so
mix it up.
There
okay.
is a mix. And we
okay.
would definitely be looking to council for council's direction as to where you would like to see
that mix.
Those that mix, how that mix would be, what would be comprised in that mix.
Okay, thank you.
If I can bring your attention to the sheet that's up on the screen, and if you'll look under just above the highlighted line that says total operating expenditures, just above that is the itemization in broad categories for the general fund. And what I want to point out is if you'll notice under salaries and benefits, it sums to for the adopted budget for 11-12 approximately $49.3 million. The actual operating portion of the general fund sums to about $14.2 million. And the point I want to draw out is we're heavy into salaries and benefits to the tune of about two-thirds of the overall general fund budget. Most of the expenses that we've been able to eliminate, of course, have come out of the operation side of the budget to date. But one of the challenges we have is that the general fund is a service-oriented fund, and therefore you have to have people out there providing those services. And so
right.
it's heavy into salaries and benefits.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that so those we do have those options in the back of our mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. and again, so we looked through the revenues, and again, the revenues that you do have the ability to change is the ad valorem. Additionally, I guess you do have the ability to increase ad valorem should you choose, but we've not been entertaining that notion. Then you've got your non-revenues, which are your transfers from other funds. And those are the transfers we spoke about that come from the enterprise funds, in addition to the transfer of $2.5 million from the police and fire fund, which composed the $15.4 million. So that shows your total general fund budget. And on the expenditure side, you can see the expenditures are 63.8 against a 48.3 backdrop of true revenue and then the 15.4 in transfers. And as Matt spoke to, we are definitely salary and benefit heavy in the general fund versus operating. And then you've got transfers to other funds. Some of that's our debt service obligations. And then you have our reserves, and the reserves are broken out in the non-departmental tab. So if you'd like to flip to the non-departmental tab, we can outline what those reserves look like. And the general fund is tabbed out by department, and there is a tab called non-departmental. And if you turn to the second page in the non-departmental tab, you'll see a section called reserves at the bottom of the page. That totals to that 19.1. So we have the reserve for contingency, which is a 3.3. We have reserve for overtime. We have reserve for retirements, reserve for economic development, the reserve for cash balance forward, which is the 20% of expenditures, the reserve for affordable housing incentive, and the reserve for tree mitigation. And the affordable housing and the tree mitigation are both by ordinance. Those are restricted net assets to be used specifically for those activities. The 20% again is our reserve policy. The other reserves are somewhat subjective. The reserve for economic development is to further council's strategic objective to continue to attract business to Ocala. When Mr. Mondale's office negotiates with companies and cuts deals and does things like the American Fresh Farms and Magna and these other deals, oftentimes there are concessions made by the city to where we will pay impact fees for them, pay permit fees, or you know, waive different things. In certain instances, an actual check has to be written to make that happen. So this sets aside a reserve of money for council to be able to know upfront what type of money you're working with and you have available to make these agreements when you make them, so that you're not entering into an agreement kind of in the abstract and wondering at the end of the day, you know, where is the check going to come from to pay the impact fees over to the school board and such.
Right.
This is separate from the funding that Mr. Mondale's office receives for the EIP fund. There is an annual $400,000 transfer from from the general fund into the EIP fund that funds the ongoing operations in Mark's area. That is where the EDC is paid from, the North Florida Business Development Council, and some of the little smaller agreements that his office has with, you know, for grants with different companies.
Okay.
The reserve...
Oh, go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. The reserve for retirements, we annually we talk to the departments and figure out who they expect to retire. This is money that would be paid out for an employee's accruals, accrued sick and vacation time. So as opposed to having that money spread out within the department's budgets and having their salary line kind of, you know, ebb and flow from year to year based on who's retiring, we set aside a reserve, and if someone indicates their desire to retire, we would make the appropriate transfer into an expenditure line and pay out their time, do them, and move on so it doesn't artificially inflate their operating budgets.
Okay.
The reserve for overtime is kind of a similar attempt at controlling overtime. That is an expense that is very costly to the city. So the departments have been given their respective overtime budgets, and should the need arise to exceed that, we would have to come back to council to request monies to be moved from the reserve. And you have extenuating circumstances. You know, we've been under burn bans. It's a dry season. The potential for the fire service to have to respond to an event, you know, is there. We want to ensure that we have some dollars set aside for that. You know, OPD, should they be involved in a large case that eats up a lot of man hours, we want to ensure that we have money set aside for those types of events. Again, as opposed to having the worst case budgeted in their operating budget, we set it aside in a reserve, because that would be an appropriate expenditure should it arise, and then we can bring that to council's attention as opposed to just burning up through a bunch of overtime without bringing that to council's attention when these types of things occur.
Okay. If I can emphasize a couple things to make sure the council understands. When the city council adopts the budget, whatever amount of these reserves, staff would not access these during the year unless we first came back and got prior authorization from city council. I want to make sure of that point. And secondly, this is a change from previous years in showing these contingencies here. In previous years, we never showed what was in the checkbook, so to speak. And this year, of course, in our effort to be more transparent, we're showing you what the cash balance forward amount is, as well as what makes up those numbers within the budget.
Thank you.
Yes, and that is something that you will see when on the August 9th workshop when we bring the full budget back. At that time, the financial policies, key management practices, the fee schedule, all of those things come forward in that workshop. And that is language that you will see reflected in our key management practice, that the reserve lines are just that. They are reserve. Staff does not have the authority to unilaterally access those accounts. Internally, we have some other types of restraints. For example, salaries and operating accounts. Internally, we do not allow the departments to move money back and forth between salaries and operating. You know, we restrict the flow of those funds. And the reserve accounts, likewise, would be restricted to council authority. It would be a transfer amendment, if you will. It would require one read, and we would come before council and say, you know, we had a sinkhole open up on 40, so we need to tap the reserve for contingency. It's going to cost, you know, Geotech says it's $500,000. We'd come before council. We'd outline to council it's going to come out of the reserve for contingencies. It's going to move into the engineering budget. And we would provide council with a running tally of each of those reserve accounts. So, you know, we are in March, and suddenly the reserve is $2 million, and you're not going to have to wonder, well, gee, how did we get here? You will get a running tally of when council has had to access the different reserve funds and for what purpose, due to the fact that the money is not out on the balance sheet hidden anymore. This is all the money that council has. So it's helpful to know how much you have. It's even more helpful to know where it's gone,
right?
So that you can make, you know, informed decisions when you do access the reserves. Well, basically, that's what makes up the reserves. And Susie, I believe you had a question on the non-departmental.
You answered it with the reserves. Thank
okay.
you.
If we can flip back to the first page where we were looking at the summary. And you'll see there again how the expenditures balance out to the revenues. So we're at 86.3, including cash balance forward and reserves.
So Neil would like to add one thing. If you notice the 22.4 million, that's what our estimate is of where we will end up at 9/30/2011. As Matt alluded to, some of these strategies that we're going to put in place to try to cut the cost, you know, whatever we end up at, that we can drop that to the reserves. You know, if we end up at 24 million, it gives us a $2 million better position. That will fall down into the reserves for council to appropriate that as they see fit.
Yes, and that will take place with one of the first amendments of the budget year. Will be our carry forward amendment. In the past, you had a bunch of projects and all kinds of money that came into the budget. Going forward, that carry forward amendment will basically be shoring up the accounts. Finance will close the books November, December timeframe. We will then look and see what we actually had left on hand, bring those monies into the budget and appropriate them accordingly. And we do anticipate, you know, that, gosh, if I hit that number right on, I should play the lotto. So, you know, I don't anticipate that number being the number. Ideally, that number, it's very conservative. More than likely, we will not expend, you know, everything that we have budgeted, and that number will be a little higher. We'll have some projects that will cross over, and right. So we'll have those differences. But that's our best estimate at this point. And again, pointing out that this is balanced at the rollback rate. Okay. Behind that general fund summary page is a breakout of each one of those individual revenue sources. Unless council has questions, I'm not gonna go line by line through the all the individual revenue sources. And the last page behind that is the general fund detail, which is a breakout of the expenditure side by department. And again, overall expenditures are actually fairly in line with current year. They're not an increase from the current year. It's just we continue to see revenue declines. Right. So our expenditures, if you're looking at them year over year, are fairly stagnant. Right. We have some reductions, as Matt indicated, in some of the operating areas. We've shaved a few things back. But there are no notable increases in any department's salary or operating budgets. We're looking for some notable increases in revenue. That would be nice. and we can look at, and this detail page is broken out individually by each department and all of the specific line items that make up that summary page. So we can go through any portion of that council has questions on.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Gwynn?
Just as a note, for your reference, there are no new positions programmed in the FY12 budget. As I indicated earlier, there are no raises programmed in. There are also no what we call a reclassification, an internal upgrade or raise to individuals other than the things that are in collective bargaining agreements. Those are programmed in the budget in any STEP programs, as like in electrical, we've got your journeyman apprenticeship program. But outside of that, there are no other other increases in the salary budgets.
Thank you.
And the pension costs are fully budgeted as well. We spoke to council earlier about the increase in pension costs. For example, the general employee pension went from a 32% contribution to a 35% contribution. The city has absorbed that cost completely. We did not go to the pension boards to request that the employees kick up, okay, you know, what they put in. That has remained the same. So the city did absorb that in addition to the health increase. So I guess if one would ask, you know, what did we do for the employees? You know, we absorbed both of those cost increases and did not pass them on to the employees.
Okay.
Yes.
I just had a question on city council. What are operating supplies for $25,000 and professional services for $50,000? What is that? Where it says operating?
Your professional services is your lobbyist.
Oh, okay. All right. And the $25,000?
And $25,000 is operating supplies. That is, it's more council's contingency were when entities come to council and say, you know, I need police patrol for my event and I can't afford the $900, and you know, that's kind of where council operates out of there.
This is the fund that Rick would say we only had this amount left in it in the past, so.
Yeah, okay. And then I see travel and training split up, 10,000 for travel, 7,000 for training, where it was 17,7, it was all travel.
Yes, that's part of our migration to the state chart of accounts, and those items are split on the state chart.
Okay, no problem. This big salaries.
Bringing it in.
Don't spend it all in one place. Are there other questions related to the general fund?
Did you have anything, Mr. Gwynn? Oh, Mr. Priester.
Anything else? I will point out to council the only other amendments that you will see to the general fund in the new fiscal year will, of course, be grants. As we spoke about in the capital workshop, a lot of that activity is heavily grant funded. So as those grants materialize, you will see a budget amendment to bring the grant into the budget. So those would be the only times that the overall budget would increase.
Okay. So there aren't any grants in here that we are?
The only grants that are in here is CDBG, because we know up front what our allocation is there, and the Marion County Homes Grant.
Right.
But everything else,
any grants that, you know, airport,
none of that,
from law enforcement, the police,
no, sir.
Get some sometimes.
Correct. Until they're actually awarded to the city where council has inked that contract, you will see the accompanying budget amendment at that time.
Okay.
Okay. There's no further questions on the general fund. Behind that same tab, we have other general funds. All of these funds are also balanced. You've got your three-quarter mil fund, if you're, which is the 091 fund. You have your fire police improvement fund, the fire impact fee fund, your 1/8 mil neighborhood enhancement fund, the community development block grant, or the CDBG fund, and then the economic investment program fund. And all of those are balanced. Most of them just have one revenue source, which is either a millage or a transfer.
Okay.
The one fund of those in particular that is restricted is the fire impact fee fund.
Mm-hmm.
That is funded solely by impact fees, and that money must be segregated and can only be spent on things that are necessitated by new growth, so we cannot buy replacement equipment out of that fund. And with the building slowdown, it's not earning a whole lot. And those monies are presently programmed towards the fire station.
Okay.
And again, all of those ancillary general funds that receive millage are again budgeted at the rollback rate. So should we make a reduction in the rollback rate, it would impact the general fund as well as those other three little funds that receive some portion of millage. The next tab is the special revenue funds. In the special revenue funds, we have the gas tax fund, the downtown development fund, the recreation special activities fund, and the community redevelopment trust fund. Special revenue funds, by definition, are segregated. The revenue that comes into those funds is specific for the activity that is involved in those funds. So there is not necessarily transfers out of those funds to support other areas. The gas tax fund is balanced based on the gas taxes that are coming in. This is a project intensive fund, as well as some operating for traffic and streets and public works. The downtown development fund receives ad valorem taxes. These are the special taxing districts, A, B, and C. Those funds are balanced at their respective rollback rates as well. Again, this is a very small fund, brings in very little dollars, about $55,000 a year. So that's balanced. The other fund, the Recreation Special Activities Fund, this is for recreation and parks programs. So the program income that comes into this fund supports the program itself. Any indirect costs are in Recreation and Parks' general fund budgets. That fund is also balanced. And the Community Redevelopment Trust Fund, which is the last fund in that tab, is also known as the CRA. That's where those monies come in. So that is ad valorem taxes that come into that fund. And that's based on the differential between the original year and what the current millage is. So again, if the millage is decreased, that differential also decreases, so it would cause a reevaluation of the expenditures in this fund as well. Are there any questions on the special revenue funds?
No.
Our next area is the internal service funds. These are the insurance funds of the city, our disability income replacement fund, our general liabilities claims fund, our health insurance, and our workers' comp. These are all balanced based on the charges for services that they have and the expenditures. They have their appropriate reserves as called for by the actuarial studies, and they are fully balanced and not dependent upon any outside funding sources. Any questions on the internal service funds?
No.
And as we spoke of earlier, you know, they're all in a good position, especially the health insurance fund, due to the changes that were recently made by council. The trust and agency funds are the police trust and agency and the three pension plans. The police trust and agency fund is separate funding that the police agency can use on specific items, their education, some of their equipment is programmed in there. When they receive contributions for crime prevention and different things, that's where the funding goes. And the pension funds are self-contained as well, with the contributions from the city and the employees. Any questions on trust and agency? Our next area are the debt service funds. I won't name them all. We have several debt service funds. They are all balanced. The only income to a debt service fund is the transfer from the fund that is responsible for paying that debt. Majority of our debt is utility related, with the exception of our capital improvement bonds that were kind of a general revenue bond. Mm-hmm. So those are all balanced. We have, the city maintains adequate debt service coverage. We do not have a problem with our debt service limits or our coverage.
Okay.
So we are in good shape there. And those are all of the funds. And we covered the capital funds at the last workshop, and all of the changes requested at the capital meeting have been made. I believe the only addition was the Krosky Center, and that was added. We shuffled some projects around, and that project is covered.
Yes, Ms. Rich did call and ask if we would make that change. I want to make that public, as well as to see if staff could place a shade shelter near the new playground that was installed 2 or 3 months ago. And so I've made arrangements for that to be in the budget as well.
Okay. And at the next workshop, we will cover the enterprise funds, and then the workshop after that will be the budget in its entirety. Of course, with any changes that council elects for us to make, as well as we will have an adopted millage by that time.
Okay. Do y'all have any more questions? Any other questions, Mr. Priester?
No, at this time.
Are there any public comments? Is there anyone that would like to comment on the general fund budget? Do you have anything further?
Yeah, just a couple things. Again, my absolute appreciation to all staff who have had a hand in the development of this budget. As I've indicated, it commenced back in March. Thousands of hours have been invested trying to advance you, I think, a good, solid budget. We have some challenges, obviously, and our work is not done yet. We'll have to continue to work on those. But true, outstanding job to staff, as well as to John and Cindy for leading that march to get this budget before you. The next meeting will be on the enterprise funds, and we'll talk about the city's electric fund, water and sewer fund, telecommunications fund, golf fund, airport fund, and stormwater fund, if I got them all right. I will not be here during that particular meeting. I'll be on vacation, but John Zolber will fill in nicely and will advance the information to you the Friday before the work meeting, so you'll have adequate time to review that. And if there's any questions for staff, I would conclude our remarks.
I just would comment that it's very easy to read and nice layout. And I don't know if that's just because I've had a year experience or if y'all changed something, but
we did change a few things. Yeah.
It's very nice. I appreciate it.
We try to get folks who don't work with us to look at it that way because we know what it's supposed to say. So it's kind of hard for us to be objective sometimes. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
And if there's nothing further, we'll be adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.